Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. For the last 15 years, the IBM Center for the Business of Government has sought to connect research to practice, sponsoring third-party research on a broad range of public management issues facing us today. The U.S. federal government provides assistance to eligible populations through a variety of targeted programs. Today, we'll discuss a topic that does not receive significant attention: the role of outreach organizations in assisting government agencies to determine benefit eligibility of citizens applying for services. We will do this with Professors Lael Kaiser and Susan Miller, author of the IBM Center Report, Collaboration Between Government and Outreach Organizations, a case study of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. In this report, Kaiser Miller examines a large government program with a long history of complex interactions with outreach organizations. What are the roles of state veteran agencies and veteran service organizations such as the American Legion and the Disabled American Veterans in working with the Veterans Disability Compensation Program at VA? What dynamics lead to effective collaboration between outreach organizations and government programs? We will explore these questions and more with Professors Kaiser and Miller. They will outline five strategies that can further enhance the benefits between federal agencies and outreach organizations. Welcome, Professor Kaiser.
Thank you.
And welcome, Professor Miller.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Professor Kaiser, your report for the IBM Center, Collaboration Between Government and Outreach Organization, a case study of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, addresses a topic that does not really receive significant attention, and that is the role of outreach organizations in assisting government agencies to determine benefit eligibility of citizens applying for services. I really am interested, what are outreach organizations and how do they differ from so-called third-party assistance organizations? And more particularly, what types of programs do these organizations facilitate?
Outreach organizations help educate people about government programs and help them apply. They are especially used when eligibility rules for different programs are complicated or when the application procedure is complicated. And they're used in a whole bunch of different programs. The examples would be the Affordable Care Act, for example. The federal government gave grants to a lot of community groups to assist people in filing for health insurance through the exchanges that set up through the Affordable Care Act. That would be a really sort of example that is in the news right now. Other examples would be with SCHIP, so when the government expanded Medicaid for children, they gave a lot of grants to community organizations to help people sign up for Medicaid. And you also even have some of these organizations many of these organizations are not for profit, but some are actually for profit. So another example would be that 18 states right now have given a contract to a for-profit company called the Public Consulting Group. And that group contacts residents of states that are receiving temporary aid to needy families and helps them apply for Social Security disability. So there's a whole set of these organizations that range from nonprofits to for-profits. Some are getting government contracts to do this work. Some are doing it just on their own. So, for example, a lot of non-for-profit groups like Catholic Charities that serve low-income families, they will provide these types of services for all the different types of programs that those families are eligible for. So that could be for, you know, temporary aid to needy families. It could be the Earned Income Tax Credit. It could be, you know, Medicaid. So it could be any type of application that they need help with. They're very active and in a lot of programs, and there's a lot of different types of organizations that would qualify under that label. They differ because the third-party assistance programs are the nonprofits or for-profit organizations that directly provide the service, the government service. So the government provides the funds, but it's the nonprofit or for-profit that directly provides the service. So examples would be job training. So through the Workforce Investment Act, the federal government provides money to provide job training to certain populations. And that job training is not provided by the government directly, but it's provided through a nonprofit or a for-profit organization.
Professor Kaiser, would you tell us how outreach organizations typically assist government agencies? What aspects of a program can be enhanced from effective collaboration between these government agencies and the outreach organizations?
Well, they typically assist applicants by first even informing them about the program in the first place. So there's a lot of government programs that maybe people who actually meet the eligibility criteria just are unaware of. And so outreach organizations can help to educate potential applicants that this program exists and help the government better serve the population that it's trying to target through the program. They also, these outreach organizations can help them collect and file the necessary documents. Some of these programs require lots of different documents, and especially when it's dealing with something that is related to disability or something like that, there's a lot of documents related to providing evidence of certain medical conditions. And so outreach organizations can help the applicants in providing all that information. By doing this, they actually also help the government agency process claims more quickly, because if it's working the way it should, the government workers who are trying to determine whether or not the applicant is actually eligible for the program has a much more completed application to work with. When they don't have completed applications, then it's the government employees who have to try to develop the claim and gather evidence, and that increases the time that it takes to process that claim, and it can increase backlogs and just slow down their whole processing. So outreach organizations can really assist in helping the whole process be much more timely.
So, Professor Kaiser, by performing these outreach activities, state and local governments, nonprofits, and other organizations, what we've referred to here as outreach organizations, how do they have the potential to impact the performance of government agencies in implementing benefit programs? And more particularly, how can government agencies better engage outreach organizations?
When you think about the programs that serve populations where they have to determine whether or not particular people are actually meet eligibility criteria, one of the things that we care about is how quickly they can make those decisions. And so, in a sense, that's one way that we think about them as being effective or ineffective. And this is really important implications for people, because if you're in need, how long you have to wait to get a decision from a government agency has a big effect on your well-being. And so governments are always trying to process those claims as quickly as possible. And so that is a way that it improves the effectiveness by improving timeliness. We also talk about in the report other ways that they can generally improve performance. So not only are we concerned about timeliness, but we're also concerned about how accurate the decisions are. And presumably, outreach organizations can help improve accuracy of government agencies by alerting managers when there is a problem. So if there is some government employees maybe who are misinterpreting eligibility criteria, outreach organizations can alert a manager that is the case. And the manager then can look into it and, of course, make their own determination about whether or not they actually are misinterpreting eligibility criteria. But it sort of gives the manager another set of eyes. It's another group of people who are kind of looking at how applications are being decided, and that can inform them when something is going wrong and maybe the agency is actually making decisions that are not consistent with the regulations. So that's one way that they can actually improve performance as it relates to accuracy. And then the third sort of general point that we make about how it improves accuracy is that working with outreach organizations can improve customer service. And what we mean by customer service is just sort of how applicants are treated. Because regardless of whether or not somebody actually is eligible for the program, you want government agencies to treat those people with respect. And, if there ever is a case where the applicants are feeling like they're not being treated with respect, or outreach organizations can see that they're not, that allows them to communicate to managers that there's a problem and that managers can then address that within their government agency.
One primary goal, Professor Kaiser, of outreach organization is increasing access to government programs. These outreach organizations often play advocacy roles similar to those played by interest groups, which presents sort of a conflict with program stewards, the program owners. Would you elaborate on the conflicts among outreach organizations and government program managers, and how are these issues and conflicts ameliorated?
Well, in general, outreach organizations have a much more narrow mission than government agencies do, in that the outreach organizations, their primary purpose is to help people apply for benefits and to get those benefits. and they're not primarily concerned about protecting taxpayer dollars, or they're not necessarily, I mean, they can be, but they're not necessarily concerned about how they do with one particular applicant may affect all applicants. So, for example, if you were in an outreach organization and you saw yourself as your primary purpose being to just make sure that everybody you're working with receives the benefit, you may encourage them to file misleading information, or you may encourage them to file in ways that maybe may increase their likelihood of getting the benefit, but may also slow down the process for other people. And so the fact that the government employees, they have to worry about best serving the applicant, but they also have to worry about protecting taxpayer dollars. And so if people in outreach organizations are viewed by government employees as primarily just trying to get as many people on benefits as possible, they're not going to trust them enough to work with them in a collaborative way. And so you won't have these positive impacts that we note in the report that you can have for increased collaboration. So one thing that we found that in our doing these interviews, though, with the veterans issue is that there are very specific ways that you can get around these problems. And so there's particular ways that the outreach organizations can develop a reputation as being what they refer to as honest brokers, which that they actually see their mission a little bit more broadly than just assisting individual applicants. Instead, they see their mission as educating applicants about the eligibility criteria, including what they may not be eligible for, and trying to make sure that people who actually meet the eligibility criteria file for the things that do make them eligible. But if they see somebody who isn't really eligible for something and they know that they're honest with them and tell them that they shouldn't waste time filing for that claim. And so, you know, just by having the mission or the orientation of having a broader mission, that can really help to develop a reputation that makes the government employees more willing to work with the outreach organizations.
Professor Kaiser, what are the benefits and costs associated with collaboration in eligibility-based programs?
Some very sort of specific things. So in all of the things that we talked about that were had potential things that could help improve the process, there also was a possibility that collaboration would actually be problematic for those things. So just using the example of timeliness, for example, if you had a lot of collaboration between an outreach organization and a government agency, it's possible that could actually reduce timeliness if the employees in the outreach organization started to take up a lot of time for the government employees. So if the government employees suddenly have to spend all their time responding to people in outreach organizations, that's taking them away from their core task of developing and processing claims. So if it's distracting to them, or if they're having to spend most of their time responding to outreach organizations, and if outreach organizations are not sort of careful about using up their time, you could actually have it reduce timeliness. Or if outreach organizations are encouraging applicants to file misleading information or appeal decisions, you know, regardless of the merit of the appeal, all of those things would just, you know, increase the amount of work that the government agency has to do without actually improving the service that they're providing. So it can have a negative effect, and that's why it needs to be managed carefully.
So, Professor Kaiser, what dynamics lead to effective collaboration between these outreach organizations and the government program manager?
Well, I think the biggest sort of takeaway point, or that people mentioned a lot, is good quality communication. So from the perspective of the government agency, managers that communicated with the outreach organizations, that helped to facilitate good relationships. And so when I talked about sort of in communication can really lead to increased trust. And the problems with a lack of trust come from each organization thinking that the other has a contradictory mission. And so anything that the managers or the outreach organizations can do to sort of highlight the fact that they actually do have shared goals is a good thing. So just, you know, some specific examples is the outreach organizations, if they establish a reputation, as I mentioned before, as being an honest broker, that can really help to facilitate collaboration because the government agency employees will be willing to work with them. And one specific thing that we heard about in our interviews is one of the supervisors of a veterans organization, he actually took into account whether or not his employees worked to collaborate in an effective way with the government agency as part of their performance. And what he meant by that was if they were doing things that would just sort of were filing things, you know, just filing things that gum up the system is sort of the words that he used, that that was something he took into account. So he really tried to encourage them to think about their job was to try to help make the claims processing go more smoothly for the government agency. And he used that in evaluating their performance. So that's just sort of an example of how an outreach organization can develop a reputation of being a quality collaborator and help facilitate that relationship. And conversely, on the side of the government agency, we saw an example of a director who in a meeting highlighted to his employees that their primary purpose is to serve veterans, or one of their primary purposes is to serve veterans, by just asking all of his employees to stand up if they were a veteran, and then to stand up if they had a family member of who was a veteran, or to stand up if they had a friend who was a veteran. And by the end of this, all of the employees in the VA had stood up. And the veterans organizations, they weren't even present at this meeting, but they heard about it. And that made them have a high level of trust in that director. And they sort of believed that that director was acting in good faith to serve veterans and was doing everything possible to try to, you know, improve the performance. And that really made, you know, having that better trust made the interactions that they had more positive.
How did the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and veterans organizations collaborate? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.